Hey everyone, it's Benji here. I just want to let you guys know that the Budget Overland podcast is no more. Ended that back in February 2024. I just wanted to come on here and give you guys a disclaimer as to not buy anything from Budget Overland Official. The only two things that you should be able to join is the Facebook group, and that is under groups, and it's called Budget Overland. You have to ask to join. It's still up and operational. And then budgetoverlandportal.com will still be up and operational until the domain name runs out, which I believe is good till 2026. Anything, everything else that's Budget Overland out there, please don't support. Please don't buy. It's either spam, scam, or something else. Just want to let you guys know, I did start a new podcast called Newfound Overland. It's available on all major platforms. Love to have you over there. Just kind of disclaimer here, guys, up front before you get into today's episode. There's a lot of gold out here. You know, every episode we had some good guests and good topics. So I don't want to discourage you guys from listening further, so please do, and I'd love to see you over on Newfound Overland. Bye-bye.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Budget Overland Podcast. I'm Jay Teagues, and I have in studio Slow Yoda, also known as Benji Ward. How you doing, brother?
Good, man. I go by a lot of different names these days.
You do have a lot of different names. a lot of names. We can't even say it on the podcast.
That's right.
How are you doing, bro?
I'm good. I mean, just like everybody else, man. It's like 105 degrees heat index today. It's crazy. Driving my old candy box truck around, no AC, I was roughing it. But,
man,
here I am.
Dude, how did they overland back in the day with horse and carriage when there was no AC?
I don't know. How did they even live, dude? Yeah, like, it's crazy to think about. And it's hard. We're too cushy now.
We are. We're getting pretty soft.
Yeah, soft generations.
Well, today it's a super excited episode. We got Ben Azam here from Trucked, and we're going to talk about his company and about him. Just a couple things before we get into today's episode, just a couple housekeeping notes. If you haven't done so already, make sure you smash that subscribe button so you're notified of future episodes. And if you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple or whatever podcast platform, just take a few minutes and please go to iTunes and leave us a review. It goes a long way to helping us expand the Budget Overland empire. And we read them all, and it means a lot. We've got a lot of great great reviews. And, you know, humbly, and this is awesome, Overland Journal, we made the top 20 list of podcasts as a brand new. I think we're probably the most junior and most rookie. So awesome to make the cut. And that's because awesome people are listening, and they're enjoying what we're talking about, and we appreciate that. So if you're not part of the Facebook community, join us over there. And if you're listening to us and you didn't know, we also have a YouTube channel. So go check us out over there. Go subscribe. And, check us out over there. Benji's been dropping some content recently about some of the builds he has going.
I have been dropping stuff left and right that doesn't even make sense. But by golly, I'm dropping content. So
I'm slacking, but I will get caught up because I got a bunch of videos to upload. It's just a matter of setting down time. But bottom line is, we have a lot of stuff over there that you can put your eyeballs on. We're not prolific YouTubers. Like, we're still, you know, you're not going to see the most spectacular content, but it should be entertaining and good nonetheless. So then you can see our smiling faces on the podcast. All right. Hey, I got a new Budget Overland shirt. See this, Benji? I don't think you
I saw one. That. That's not even out. I mean, that's the, I don't know. It's fresh off the press, I guess.
Fresh off the press. This is the Budget Overland definition shirt. And basically what it says, making wise purchase decisions that support vehicle-dependent venture travel, where creating epic memories in remote destinations is the primary goal. So it's all nice. About, once again, the Budget Overland mission is to encourage people to get outside without breaking the bank. Just get outside. Don't overthink it. Just go out there and make epic memories. This episode is brought to you by Trail Rated Coffee Company. What is Trail Rated Coffee Company? They're a small family-owned coffee roasting company located in Colorado. And when you buy from Trail Rated Coffee, you're buying directly from the family that roasts, packages, and ships your coffee order with you with care. Their coffee is premium, specialty grade, and sourced directly from small independent farmer. They're a small business, an overlanding business that are making coffee for overlanders. And every sale that they have, every bag, they send a dollar to supporting trail reconstruction. So you can go and buy big box bad tasting coffee that doesn't support overlanding, or you can support the small, awesome business that that supports our community. So go check out Trail Rated Coffee. And if you use the code BUDGET15, all caps, BUDGET15, you get 15% of your offer, which is pretty sweet. So, all right. So without further ado, let's get into today's episode. We have in studio with us Ben Azam. He's the CEO and founder of Trukd, T-R-U-K-D, all caps, a bed rack and accessories company and a partner in Lexicon Design, a Pittsburgh-based design agency. Ben has been an outdoor enthusiast his whole life and has always loved camping, kayaking, mountain biking, and hiking, but he got into overlanding the past 3 years after he bought his Tacoma. And Trukd is a new startup that launched last year at Overland East in October, and they started taking pre-orders, shipping products last March. And their rack is awesome because it works with most tonneau covers, and the bars come on and off. They look sharp. We saw them at the Moore Expo. And Ben, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
Yeah, man. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how, I guess we'll just start off with, like, how did you get into overlanding? You mentioned that. So you're pretty new to it. So tell us how you got into it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I've been thinking about this, you know, over the past week, you know, getting ready for the podcast here. And I guess I'm new to overlanding from the concept of, like, doing the roads and everything. But I've been camping for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. Like, and I guess, like I said, I was thinking about this the other day, and I've kind of been overlanding for a while. I never called it that. Yeah. So yeah, I got into it. You know, I bought the Tacoma. My wife and I go camping every summer to a couple different places. We bring our kayaks with us, and it's always kind of a challenge trying to figure out how to get the tent and the kayaks and it all together, all in a truck, and then get it out to where we're going. We really like going up kind of the Allegheny River, Allegheny National Forest, that area. But yeah, so we got into it. I got the truck and we just started kind of going on trips and exploring. And I don't know, I think the last trip we did was like a 200-mile trip around the central PA, and it was epic. So
nice.
That's awesome. I think you mentioned it. I think most of us in our community have been overlanding. We just didn't know that there was a term for it. So we've been doing it from capacity. So, but now that we have a term for it, now it's become like a whole industry.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's wild too. Cause we're, you know, I mentioned the kayaks before, and that's kind of where the company, kind of spun out of. Was I was trying to find a rack that worked with the kayaks and a tent, and one thing led to another. I was, like you mentioned, I also run a small design agency here in Pittsburgh. And I was just designing something for myself one day. And yeah, a couple of guys came and were like, "Hey, what's that?" I was like, "I just, you know, designed myself a bed rack." And they're like, "Oh, that's super sweet. We got to try to sell that." And, you know, one thing turned into another. And now we have another company.
So. Yeah, I think that's, you know, trying to solve a problem. Most inventors are trying to solve some form of problem. And then what they learn is that, you know what, that's a common problem for a lot of people. Then you end up making a business out of it, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, it was never intended to be a business in the start. But hey, you know, if it's helping other people, then it makes me happy. So.
Well, you guys, your design stood out to us because it's, you know, it's affordable. It looks sharp. You guys are a new startup, and you know, we were pretty impressed with your guys' product, and you know, we were excited to. We talked to you guys right after Moore, and I know some of our community, they had made some purchases from you guys out there, and so we're glad you guys are here.
Yeah, that was a great show for us. We met some awesome people, and. Honestly, we kind of sold out a product at the show. So,
yeah, that says a lot, right? I mean, right out the gate, you guys brought product and sold out. So that's great.
Yeah, we brought two truckloads. Me and my buddy Billy came out. We brought two truckloads full of as much as we could fit. And we came back a little lighter than we went. So
that's great.
It was good for the gas mileage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it was that was a great show. And the company's, you know, this company is still growing. We're kind of, you know, like a lot of companies, we're kind of struggling with the supply chain woes at the moment. But, you know, as it sits, we have inventory. But it definitely kind of comes and goes depending on how fast we can get metal. So,
how many designs do you have? Do you have like a high and a low profile rack?
Yeah. So right now we have we just have the two sizes. We got the 6-inch and a 12.5-inch. We may be working on some new stuff. We're going to probably try to launch it again at Overland East.
Nice.
But yeah.
Rack related.
I'm sorry?
Rack related.
Yep. Yeah.
Cool.
But it'll be kind of building off of what we already did. So one of the things that we're trying to do is use as much as what we did before moving forward. So
yeah,
it'll all be a fun kind of family together, hopefully.
That's cool, man. Yeah. One year later, how many states, like, cause you guys ship your own products, like how many states is trucked in right now, or even countries for that matter?
So yeah, we just cause we're a small company, we had to keep it to the US, but, how many states? That's a good question. We've got to be in almost all 50 states at this point.
Nice.
The only one I think we don't have that I know for sure is, Hawaii. Mm. But our product's super popular in Alaska, so
that's good.
Maybe there's more Overlanders in Alaska.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, people will travel up there, and the locals or whoever be like, "Hey, where'd you get that rack from?" or whatever, because they'll see it. That's pretty cool, man. That's great. Yeah. 50 states, and not even a year later. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's a big deal.
It's amazing what the internet can do.
For sure.
During a recession and everything else.
Gosh, yeah. It's crazy. But, yeah, you got to take advantage of it for sure.
Yeah, I guess I don't want to say lucky, but I feel like we're lucky to have such great customers.
Yeah, that's good. Or you could have a crappy product and that would, do the same effect, carry like wildfire throughout all the states. Nobody would want your stuff.
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah, we get – one of the best things that we get is – at least one of the things that I really love about my job and doing this is just seeing all the pictures. We always ask customers to send pictures from.
So like watching your Instagram, cause I follow it, you'll see a Gladiator, you'll see a full size, like Ram. Mm-hmm. Then you'll see like a Tacoma, you'll see in different generations too. It's like, you could see all these cool vehicles. And I like how people that actually, the pictures you guys use, they're legit, rigs. They look cool. It makes me want to buy one because they're so cool. But I don't have a truck. I've got a 4Runner. But one of these days.
There's a, we have totally built out rigs. We get people who totally stock trucks. It's just, it kind of goes back to like, hey, it doesn't really matter how built out your rig is. You can still go overland. You can still go have fun.
Yeah. And then you can take that easily apart and use it as a truck, mm-hmm. like you said.
Yeah. One of my favorite stories was, one of our customers a couple months ago, he bought the rack. He went on a 2-week camping trip. And then he got home and the next weekend he pulled the bars off and moved his daughter into college.
Nice.
And he's like, he sent me an email back. It's like just saying, hey, this was perfect. This is exactly what I wanted. I still have the use of my truck. And
cool.
And it's just, like I said, it's cool to hear.
Yeah, because a lot of people will bolt that stuff and add all the awnings and the shovels and the lights and all that stuff, and they'll just leave it up there, which that's fine. But you bought a truck to use it as a truck also. It'd be nice to utilize both, unless you're camping every weekend or at least twice a month to justify keeping it all on there.
Right. Yeah, I just I think – so my wife and I went on a little kayaking trip a couple weeks ago, and I pulled my rooftop tent off. Is the first time I think my rooftop tent's been off the truck in like 3 months. So
really,
but it was kind of cool. It was like I made some extra room for bigger kayaks, and we went and did that. And I'm about to put the tent back on probably this weekend. This weekend I'll put the tent back on. We're going on a trip the following.
Nice.
What makes Trucked unique in comparison to other products on the market, similar products, and why should people consider your products versus others?
Good question. So there's a couple things. One, we're a team of designers and engineers, so we build the thing to way above standards. So it's
right,
rock solid. One of the other things is some of the other rack systems out there are just kind of flat bent metal. We add a lot more geometry to our metal to make it like that much stiffer. And then as far as bar style racks go, as far as I know, we're the tallest, we'll call it a bar style rack, where the front and the back aren't connected. So those are kind of the things that make us stand out a little bit. The other thing is, you know, we really tried to make it modular. So you can kind of go with your, you know, what comes in the box with the face plates. The face plates are still functional. They look good. And, but you can still like tie down kayak paddles or whatever else you want and use the face plates that way. But you can also swap out accessory rails and you can put your, you know, your roto packs. You mentioned shovels, pretty much everything. I got my traction. I got a traction board mount kit right now on mine.
Cool.
Yeah, I like I like having modularity and having options, right? And being able to, especially because every trip that you go out on could, you know, sometimes you're taking a kayak, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you need extra fuel, sometimes you don't. Sometimes, you know. So having that level of flexibility, I think, is important, and it gives you more bang for your buck if you are.
Yeah, speaking about flexibility, one of the fellows from Moore, who bought the rack system, our XL has two height levels, so you can put it at a low height or a higher height. The other kind of cool thing you can do is you can actually put double bars. You can put bars at both heights. And so he was sending me he got a second set of bars, and then he started sending me pictures. He's like, look at all this cool stuff you can do with two sets of bars. It's like stuff I'd never even thought about. He's like, this is a great place to put your chairs. This is a place to put your like tables. You can put like all the stuff in between, you know, your
nice
up top and kind of have a second shelf underneath. So I'm still learning.
You know, that's great to get feedback from people. 'Cause like you could talk to 100 different people with the rack and everyone could have some different gadget or something that they're, you know, DIY, you know, or whatever to fit some random thing, you know. That's what's cool about like Instagram. If they post a picture of it, they could tag you and you're like, oh man, that's a good idea. And you can kind of even branch off that really for a future rack design or something.
Yeah, we you know, the amount of ideas we've gotten just from people sending us back, it's amazing. You know, you think you have like your rig set up. I think I have my rig set up pretty well for what I need. And I start seeing the stuff that other people are doing with our rack. I'm like, oh, why didn't I think of that? You know,
I should have
mounted my, you know, fire extinguisher that way. Or I should, you know,
that's cool.
Put double bars on and put my chairs up there.
How do you, so with the amount of designs that are available, because you only have so many resources, how do you pick and choose and vet, you know, which designs you're going to move forward with?
Yeah. So because we're such a small company, we're one and a half people. It's probably me 3/4 of the time and 2 other guys 1/4 of the time. You know, the thing that we think about is as far as accessories go, what we're trying to really do and what we're trying to really help our customers with is provide a good list of other good companies whose accessories work with our stuff. So, for instance, the traction board mounts I mentioned, I met also at Moore, I met the Cali Raised, Blake, the owner for Cali Raised. And I've been talking with him on and off for a while. And it's like, hey, man, do you mind if I like try out one of your traction board mounts, because I think it'd work really well in our system. He's like, yeah, man, just try it out. Let me know. And so, you know, I tried it out. It works perfectly.
It's cool.
Like, so now we're like, hey, these guys are great guys. They have a great company. Their product works great with ours, you know, and our goal in trying to build more relationships like that is just to be able to provide a good list and a good resource to all our customers to say, hey, here's all the stuff that works with it.
Yeah.
I've got a question. So like a traditional bed, you know, there's a lip. How do you mount yours per se, like on a modern truck? I kind of have an idea, but I've also got an older truck, a 1980 Toyota, and the beds on those don't have a lip. Like how do you, are there trucks that can use this and trucks that can't?
It's a good question. So most Toyotas, it varies truck by truck. Most trucks, like your F-150s or your Ford or your Dodge Rams or those, they have that lip, and we use like a bed clamp that kind of just clamps up under it. Kind of like similar to a lot of ways a tonneau covers mount. For trucks like the Taco and some Gladiators and some Nissans, we have the T-rail system. And so it just bolts into the utility, I think trail rail on a Gladiator, utility rails on a Tacoma. anyway, they all have their own name, but so we just bolt into those. For older trucks, it's kind of a truck by truck basis. We just ask, we ask people, hey, send us a picture of your truck bed. We'll figure something out. Every once in a while, we find one it won't work with, but and I think that's mostly the first gen ridge lines because they've got that weird slanty thing. But other than that, we figure out a way to work with.
I will send you a picture tonight.
Okay.
Of this truck, and I want to see if this would work because I would really like to take it. It's a Hilux, so it's a first gen short bed truck, and I'm 529 gears, 35-inch tires, and I want to make it a crawler / aggressive overland rig. And that goes back to what is overlanding? Is it rock bouncing and crawling and off-roading, or is it sightseeing and living out of your vehicle? That's another topic we're going to get into one day and hopefully just kind of clear the air on it if there's a correct answer. I don't know. We're going to have a couple different people on and talk about it. But going back to the truck, I want something that is very rugged that I could take off like creek beds and go up big boulders and stuff like that, and then still have a tent on the back. But I'll send you a picture of it. It'd be a fun little build.
I know we work with the first gen Tacomas. So if it's similar to the first gen Tacomas, it should mount just
easy. It's way older. It's 1980. Okay. So it's like stamped and rolled on the outside. And there's like tie hoops on the exterior of the bed, like old school. Yeah. I don't think there would be much of anything to mount to.
Yeah, that would definitely be a challenge, but
it would be fun.
Let me know when you're ready to do it, because we could always make. And this is kind of what I was talking to one of the guys at Moore. He had an old I forget what it was, but it had like slanty kind of angled sides. And it used like a tube on the top, and then the sides were kind of angled. I was talking to him for a while, and like we figured out a way basically to modify the design just slightly to change the bend angle to match the bend on his truck. And then it's just you'd have to drill maybe.
So was that a one-off piece for him, or did you guys start manufacturing stuff for future rigs? That
was just a one-off piece for him.
So I was going to say, you get one in a million people that come by for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just guessing. So it's like, let's not switch up everything. But I think that would be cool, dude, especially for an exhibit vehicle or not, something like that would really showcase it. Cause those things are killer. I'll send you a picture tonight for sure. Once we get off here, but I think you'll dig it.
Yeah.
You guys will definitely like it. What do you guys have in the works for like anything future? You guys going to go outside of racks? You going to stick with racks? What's the deal there?
So, yeah, I know we talked a little bit about some ideas around the 4Runner. For the moment, we're sticking with racks, but as the company grows, we have ideas to move into other things. So anything that helps people, that helps them get out, stores gear, that's kind of where we want to go. We talked about doing some accessories at some point. I know for instance, like a lot of people are asking for kayak racks right now. Mm-hmm. And it's just the kayak racks that you get on Amazon or wherever else are kind of limiting in a lot of ways. And so we're trying to think of some better ways to maybe do those. But for now, I think we're sticking with racks for the next couple of years, just to kind of get our make sure our foundation's well built. And we're going to probably come out with a couple new versions of the racks and then go from there.
Cool, man.
What are some challenges that your company has faced as a new startup in a recession What are some of the hoops that you've had to jump through?
And go through the list, man, because I'm sure it's long.
Yeah, I'm getting gray hairs every day.
I can imagine. No,
I mean, the biggest thing right now, I kind of touched on it earlier, the biggest thing is just kind of supply chain. You know, our last order, we called the factory. We got a great factory down in Alabama that we work with, and we called the guys. We're like, hey, you know, how much – what's the lead time looking like as we started – as our last run of inventory started getting low, and they're like, oh, it'd be about 4 or 5 weeks. We're like, okay, no problem. We'll order when we, you know, when it kind of gets there. And two, I guess for us, good and bad news. We sold like a month of inventory in a week. And then we're like,
wow,
oh no, what do we do now? And you know, we placed the order about a week before. So we knew we were going to be out for about 3 weeks. The problem then was, steel, they couldn't get steel. Steel was delayed by eight days. When the steel came in, they started making it. Then they ran into issues. We had issues getting powder coat. The powder coat supplier was out of powder coat. So that was another 3 or 4 days. Then we tried the last step in the whole process. We have some rivet nuts built into some kind of key components. To try to make installation a lot easier than some of the others. A lot of the other guys get a bolt, you know, parts together. But we really try to make it quick and easy. So then the rivet nuts were delayed. Their supplier for rivet nuts were out of rivet nuts because stainless steel is nickel prices have gone crazy, and nickel's kind of a key component in stainless. So there's like a shortage of stainless steel rivet nuts. Mm. And so those were delayed. So we ended up, we were without product for like 7 weeks, I think.
That's insane.
And we're just kind of waiting. We're like, all right.
That's insane. And you've not even been open for a year, but you guys are selling product, but you can't fulfill orders. And you're just like pulling your hair out. You're like, we can't. It's out of your control. And it's like you can try to tell that to people. And they're like, well, I want my product or whatever. I'm sure some people are understandable, but.
Yeah, we've been, like I said before, we got really great customers. I'd say most of our customers, probably 75%, were like, hey guys, we know you're a small company. We really love the product. We're happy to wait.
Well, it's not only that, but they know the whole world's screwed up right now. Everybody knows that. And if they don't, then they've been living under a rock.
Yeah, that's true.
If you have problems getting stuff at like McDonald's or Walmart, there's things screwed up, folks.
I still go to Walmart and they're out of bananas and chickens. Like, and those are pretty, you know, common staples.
Don't get me started on chicken. Have you priced chicken wings lately?
Oh,
chicken wings are insane, dude. They're like 15, 20 bucks for like a 10 pack or whatever. It's insane. Nuts. And you get legs for $5 for the same thing. I don't know.
The legs haven't
changed. Those body parts. Yeah. Why are those body parts worth more than the legs?
Well, that was
crazy.
I love to barbecue too. It's my southern roots coming out a little bit, but my go-to was always ribs, and ribs have gone just like they're like 50 bucks a rack now.
It's insane.
So I've switched to pulled pork. I do pork shoulders now. It's like
there you go.
It's still just as good.
Do you have any kids?
Not yet. I got a furry dog, but that doesn't really count.
Okay. So. Well, the joke at our house was whenever we do a pork butt, or you know. We'll say to my son, we're eating a pig's butt tonight. And he's like, you know, the 4 year old, he goes crazy. Yeah, we're eating pig butt or whatever. So I'm sure he goes to daycare or whatever and tells all the other kids. And they're like, awesome.
That's so cool.
Getting sidetracked, but.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, a lot of challenges in every industry with supply chain. I know it can be frustrating. But the good news is, I mean, you guys have – it's a good – in one aspect, you guys are selling out a product. So that's
right.
There's a need out there. And people are really enjoying what you guys are putting out there in the market. So it's definitely a good thing.
Yeah. It's – you know, other challenges – yeah, we've been – I guess I keep using the word lucky, but I feel like lucky is the wrong term. We've been fortunate to kind of come up with a good idea and kind of get it out there. But and I guess there's a lot of hard work behind it. We test the crap out of this stuff too, which by the way, that's the fun part. But
Let us know when you get into the 4Runner testing. We got
yeah, for sure. We were talking
if there was about 20 bins, I'm sure they would be designing all this stuff. If they could keep up with orders and stuff, there's so many cool things that they could do. And I mean, you guys know it, but it's like right now it's so hard, you know, the unknowns of getting things, but the products are out there, man. But
What is your testing process? Like, how do you guys do that? And what are your methods?
Hold on. I got to interject here.
Yeah.
Do you know what Get Trucked even means?
Oh, there's lots of
it's a Urban show. Dictionary. Have you heard of Get Trucked?
I have not Urban Dictionaried it, but I'm afraid to know now.
Oh, I'm going to look it up now.
Yeah, look it up, Jay. Read it. I'm going to summarize it. I think it's pretty much to get beat up.
Well, that's kind of how our testing goes in a lot of ways.
Well, that's what I was getting at. It ties together well.
Oh, let's see here. Get Trucked.
Get Trucked. Because that's your guys' website.
Yeah.
Being hit by a truck or any part of a truck resulting in reincarnation or transportation to another world.
Holy smokes. I didn't see that part.
I can't read this next line.
Then that would require your edit.
Yes. Let's see.
Do some beeps in there.
Did you hear what happened to the beep kid in our class? Yeah, he was trucked, and now he's in a fantasy world fighting demon kids and building a harem. This is horrible. I can't read the rest of this. We're gonna pull this off the air, man.
The one sentence I actually saw off the internet, it was to beat up your truck or to get beat up.
Yeah,
why do they get to always do awesome anime stuff? I got so stupid hot. Go to Urban Dictionary and read it yourself. It's like, what am I even reading here?
Sorry, guys.
Anyway, how do you test your stuff?
so I mean, before we even build a rack, we do a lot of FEA testing through CAD. So we have a couple engineers we work with here that we throw all the forces at it that we know, and we see kind of where things happen. So we build it, you know, as good as we can from that, and we learn. But then what we really learn is we build prototypes, throw them on a truck, and then we go drive trains. So I think our second prototype, while we're developing this last summer, our second prototype we had, it was getting pretty close. You know, we're pretty happy with it. We've solved some of the early problems. I kind of mentioned going on to Central PA. There's this loop that we love to do. It's like the 200-mile loop I mentioned. Cool. And there's this downhill section, which is all like exposed roots and rocks, and you go down this it's a pretty steep hill, and it really exposes any kind of, like, if there's ever any movement side to side, it's going to happen.
Oh yeah,
nice. And so we're going down, and you know, I've tested the crap out of this the system, and we're going down the hill, and I'm watching my rearview mirror. I'm watching the rack do this the whole way down the hill.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, dang it. You know, we got to fix that. So we came back to the office the next week, and we thought, hey, you know, we're going to add a provision to the design that, you know, if we have this problem, we're going to make a part. We know kind of what the part's going to be. So we got back, finished the design for that part, threw that part on, went back out and kind of did the same sort of run again. And it's just like rock solid. We're going down the whole hill. We got to tent and a whole bunch of weight up there, and it was just perfectly, you know, straight up
cool, man.
That's kind of how we test it. We put it through its paces.
Well, good. Yeah, because I would imagine the first guy, your first customer who bought that, put a, you know, 120-pound tent on there and was driving down some washboard road.
Yeah,
he'd call you.
And we, you know, the other thing we do is, as many ideas and as many things as we can kind of think of and test ourselves, there's always going to be more. Somebody's going to, unfortunately, in Pittsburgh, we don't have too many deserts, like deserts around. So we can't really do, like, we can't test it doing like the desert running some of the guys do.
No.
So we listen to our customers, you know, somebody will come back to us and say, hey, this is what happened. And I really have like deep conversations with them to try to figure out why, if something breaks, which usually, mm-hmm. 99% of the time it doesn't, but that 1% of the time where it does, we try to figure out why it broke. And then, because we're a small company, we're nimble, we actually make changes to the product for the next production round. So So this latest production round, we've made changes to it from the first production round, like minor tweaks, but those tweaks are making it better each time.
Good. It's good for feedback, you know, positive or negative. It's good for feedback in any situation, you know, or anywhere at all. That's great that people, and some people hold that in. Some people are like timid to even reach out to companies, but it's like, it's positive for both parties. One, someone's getting that off their chest, like, this ripped or whatever, broke, not just you, but any product, you know, it's good to just get that off your chest. And depending on the company, you could tell if they're a stand-up company or not. I mean, you're listening to them. You really want to know. Some companies be like, nah, sorry, can't do nothing. It's as is, you know, whatever.
Right.
So then right then and there, you know, you're going to know who to do business with again. So that's just for anybody. So I'm just on out there.
some of the best conversations I've had have been like, and you know, as I mentioned, we're kind of being small and whatever. We have things kind of slip through QC every once in a while. And like, you know, anytime somebody emails me back, hey, you know, hey, Ben, the part that I got, like the threads had a little bit of powder coat in it and the screw won't go in. Mm. Anytime somebody says something like that, I'm like, hey, no problem. I'll send something out in the mail tomorrow. You'll have a new part.
Yeah.
We try to be quick about that. We know people are trying to get out for their, for their adventures. That was actually, the 7-week delay, as mentioned before. We had two customers. One was going on this, he was telling me about this trip in Colorado. He's like, hey, I gotta have this, you know, gotta have a rack. And, I think we ended up, one of the guys, I think we've sold like 200 or 110 racks so far. Out of all those, we've had two returns, I think. Luckily, one of those returns came in right before this fellow was going on his trip in Colorado, while we were out of product. I said, hey, man, do you mind if we kind of refurb it, scratch and dent, like you set, and send it out to you? We'll give you a discount, but we'll get you out for your trip.
Cool.
He's like, yeah, man, if you can do that, that's awesome. So I, you know, fixed up any of the chips and powder coat and repackaged it, put all new hardware in and shipped it out to him. And he's, last I heard, he's having fun out in Colorado. So
very good. Awesome, man. Good thinking.
So, yeah, we try to do our best. You know, our customers, we can't do this without our customers. So
sure. That's great.
Where do you see the future of overlanding? Do you think that there's going to be continued growth? Like, is this a fad? Because this industry is blown up rather quickly. A lot of it probably due to COVID, you know, people looking at a way to get outdoors. What do you think the future of the industry of overlanding is?
You know, I don't think it's going to slow down. Maybe not as fast a growth as we saw last 2 years or so, but I don't think it's going to slow down. You know, I think, Pennsylvania, so our state, just announced they're opening three new state parks this year.
Nice.
And one of the state parks, they actually, and I'm thrilled to hear this, but one of the state parks is going to be motorized vehicle, like it's going to be specialized for motorized vehicles. So they're going to have trails for overlanding, nice. You know,
awesome.
And everything through the state park. And to hear that the state's getting into it, it's like, well, that's only going to keep growing the market. People are going to go to that park. They're going to see their buddies go to the park. They're going to say, hey, I got to get into this and try it out. So,
yeah.
I think it's got a good future. And I think people aren't going to quit carrying their bikes through the kayaks or the tents.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's overlanding or just using their trucks for fun, you know.
I like seeing more accessories for kayaks and mountain bikes because I'm very much an outdoor enthusiast and love taking those items with me, and having it requires some level of modularity because you know if I'm you only have so much room like I only have so much room in my 4Runner, so it's like you know, am I taking just my mountain bike? Am I taking my daughter's mountain bike? Am I taking my kayaks? Am I pulling a truck? Like all of these different things, so. Having the modularity to take all these pieces of equipment is very important to me for sure.
Yeah, that was so. We had a customer, he actually got me. I thought, you know, a tent plus one kayak was about all we could fit on a Tacoma. and I got a picture back from one of our customers again. And he showed me he had a tent and two kayaks. Nice. I think it was a Frontier, but it's basically the same size truck. I was like, how the heck did he do that? So I started like researching all of the kayak racks. I'm like, I got to figure this out because 2 weeks from now, my wife and I are going, we're going to use the rooftop tent. We want two kayaks. So I started researching a ton of different racks. I couldn't really find anything great. Then my brother-in-law just got some kayaks too. And he's got one of our pre-production prototypes on his truck. And he's like, hey, Ben, I found these racks. They work perfect for what you're looking for. And it's got this adjustable, you know how most of J-hooks, they kind of like have an angle on the back.
Mm-hmm.
He found these adjustable ones. You can adjust the angle and you can put them like straight up and down. So this actually last night, I was at the dinner table, like measuring it, trying to figure out like, hey, this is, you know, where the supports are and where it kind of fits. I was like, I think it's going to work great. So I'm excited to do
Sweet.
A tent plus two kayaks on a Tacoma and still have my whole bed for gear.
There you go. That's pretty sweet. I'm excited to see that set up.
Yeah, I'll post pictures as soon as I get my racks in. I'll be posting pictures.
Sweet.
That's cool. So. Well, what else do we need to know about truck that we haven't covered already?
Good question. So, so one of the coolest parts or components we offer is we use stainless steel thumb screws. We make these custom-made stainless steel thumb screws in from a factory in Dayton, Ohio. And the thumb screws open up a lot of that functionality that we're talking about. It allows you to pop the bars off, on and off, super fast. I do it like a couple weeks ago. We were moving some stuff around for the office, and I popped the racks off, moved all the stuff, on and off probably 2 or 3 times in a week. That's what the thumb screws really kind of do for you. I don't know, other things to know about truck. Those are a great little accessory we offer. You can get it. The downside is, they are kind of expensive, but, I think they're definitely worth having. What do I want everybody to know about truck? We're a couple of guys. We're no big company. We're just kind of a couple guys who like putting stuff on trucks and going places. So,
yeah.
I love that, man, because I think, we talk about a lot, Benji and I, small business is the engine of this country. And what I love about overlanding, it's such a unique, small community, a very niche hobby, if you will. But sure. To be able to support other, small companies in the space, I think is just it's really important. I think it's awesome. It sounds like almost everything is 100% U.S. made or close mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah, awesome. As much as we can. The hardware we get comes from either the U.S. or somewhere else, but it is what we have access to. But the major components, all the major components are all made in the U.S.
So. That's awesome because I heard you mentioned the factory, down mm-hmm. south, and like so it sounds like it's very mm-hmm. difficult. We live in a global chain economy, mm-hmm. but the fact that most of everything is manufactured mm-hmm. in the U.S. is also, it's important. I think it's very mm-hmm. important. I think we need to bring manufacturing back as much as possible and support businesses that are doing that.
We had that opportunity early on. We got quotes from China and they were a lot cheaper. But we kind of made that decision early on. We said, we're going to put our money where our mouth is and we're going to do everything here in the U.S. We're going to continue doing that. That's our, that's kind of what we're about and that's what we're going to do. So,
that's awesome. Yeah. No, good on you guys, man. I think a lot of the without going on a political rant or anything sure. like that, but a lot of the issues that we have is because we have lost focus of what mm-hmm. America is and our capabilities, and outsourcing all these things, I think, is causing a lot of the problems that we're having today. And so good on you guys for doing that. And it's awesome to have you guys, on the podcast and supporting you guys. And we're proud to have you here.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. It's been great talking to you guys. It was awesome talking to you guys more and get to know you then. Yeah. Hopefully, I know I keep bugging Benji with emails, but hopefully we can get you guys to come out here and I'll take you on a trip on the East Coast.
Man, that'd be great.
What part of Pennsylvania are you from? Are you the east side, west side, or central?
We're in Pittsburgh.
Specifically. So Pittsburgh, PA?
So we're almost in Ohio, but still in Pennsylvania.
Well, we're booking our calendars, boy. Let me tell you.
Yeah,
we're hitting everybody we can hit.
Central PA is kind of untouched.
How far away is that from Scranton?
Scranton, that's on the, we'll call it the eastern side of Central PA.
Just because I like The Office.
That's, I was thinking the same thing, The Office. I got to go visit there just because.
Just because of it. Okay, you're on the way. All right, yeah, let's make this trip happen.
Sure.
Just joking.
But yeah, there's awesome trails and down in West Virginia. There's awesome stuff here in PA.
Yes.
There's some, even Southern Ohio and Kentucky's got awesome stuff too. There's a whole, what do they call it? Kentucky Adventure Trail or something.
Yeah. Like Kentucky Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, so when are these other parks going to be opened up?
They didn't give a timeline. I heard about them about a week, 2 weeks ago. TBD sometime this year.
Cool.
But I know the Mid-Atlantic Overland Festival, we're going to be there in early August.
Early August?
In Redding. But I know there's a great off-road park that they're hosting us for the event. And
cool.
So it should be cool.
Well, there are a few questions I always like to ask our guests before we wrap it up. So first one being, it doesn't have to be Overland related, but what book or movie has inspired you in some way?
Oh, good question. Movie, you know, I love any kind of like outdoor adventure movie or adventure kind of docuseries. I think the most recent one I was watching, it inspires me to get out and do my own thing. I'm not going as crazy as these guys, but there's a new thing out on, I forget if it was Disney or HBO, but it's called 14 Peaks. It's about a guy who does all the 14 tallest peaks.
Yeah. Yeah. That was wild.
Yeah.
Those guys amaze me. And I, you know,
yeah,
I could be one like hundredth of that. It'd be cool.
Yeah.
There's a quote on there. When you think that you're effed, you're only 45% effed. Right. Yeah. I love that. I mean, just the grit and determination mm-hmm. that those guys had to do that and how quickly I love watching movies like mm-hmm. that, man. And it's, All of it inspires me to get out. Because look at my vehicle as a way just to get out. It's one component of my outdoor experience, but anything that I can do to get outside.
Yeah, so. It inspires me to get out. But the other side of it, too, there's so much you can learn from those types of things. Like you kind of mentioned the grit. You know, that applies to, you know, if you're in school or if you're kind of running a business, starting a business. Like that same level of grit, like, you know, you can learn something from that and it can apply to all aspects of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's about doing those hard things. Mm-hmm. So what item for $100 or less has improved your overlanding experience?
So I mentioned Benji. I've been watching you guys the podcast. I've been trying to think of this.
You knew this was coming. Let's change the price. Change the price.
Inflation makes this price point even harder. Should we make it $150? Good Lord.
So it's something under $1,000.
Under $1,000, yeah. Well, if that's the case, truck wrecks. But the best thing under $100, you know, it kind of goes back to what we're talking about before. You know, I was out doing overlanding before I knew it was overlanding. I think I bought my first tent from Target for like $60.
Yeah.
And I used it for like 10 years. We were out like camping, exploring, doing our thing. And you don't need the biggest built rig to go out and enjoy things. Like $60 gets you a tent and you can get a $10 styrofoam cooler and a $15 little stove.
I don't want to hijack your plug there, but yeah, we've got a tent that we've been married almost 12 years. And we got this tent for our wedding registry because we were at Target. And what's funny is I clicked that Coleman tent and somebody bought it for me because they knew obviously I wanted that. Out of everything else, like my wife picked out everything else. I wanted that tent. If somebody bought it, that's cool. So someone said, hey, we bought you that tent, Benji, because that's the only thing on there that screamed your name. So this is the tent that I got flooded out at Rendezvous in the Ozarks last year because of the seals and everything were just so roached out. Plus, we were getting flooded from underneath. So, yep, we're going to retire that bad boy.
Yeah.
But it came from Target. It was a Coleman. Great tent. We had it for 10 years. I mean, it was fantastic.
We might have had the same tent, the same, like the Coleman, I don't know what they call it.
It's a little four-person tent. Mine's kind of maroon and tan, but yeah. There probably are some kind of, you know, colors are similar like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that tent made it through. I'm surprised that tent even still exists. We were we were camping in Indiana maybe 3 years ago, and it was like June, I think, and we got literally caught in a tornado. Like
we've almost been in a tornado, haven't we, Jay?
Man, there was no tornado. That was all made up, bro.
Touchy subject.
All right. We sure got the hell out of there with the quickness. Yeah, it's a whole other big iron tornado.
What is it? Episode 33. Go check it out. I don't know.
The tornado that never was.
We
sure packed up and got out of there. We got that battle drilled down pretty good. Yeah. You go overlanding with Benji. Don't trust him with the weather.
Hey, let's get back to Ben's story. Enough of that. Let's get back to Ben's story.
The tent made it through. We made it through. We had a lot of fun slipping and sliding down a hill. So,
you seriously had a tornado come through there?
It was. I don't know where it was. It was close to us, but it was. Yeah. I was in the
pretty
tent.
Windy.
Like. I was like holding. I think I was holding it down.
Oh, no kidding!
It was like sideways, and
yeah, that's scary.
Yeah,
it was definitely a scary experience. But hey, that tent made it. I'm, you know, don't sleep on those target tents. They'll make it through anything.
they're tornado proof.
What advice would you give to someone that's just thinking about getting into overlanding? They're wanting to go, but they haven't quite went yet. What advice would you give them?
So I found this out the hard way, a lot of more than one time. Invest in a good set of tires. It'll make your experience much, especially if you're on the East Coast, there's a lot of mud. Mm-hmm. It'll definitely make your experience, you know, a lot better. If you don't plan on getting anywhere too muddy, then, you know, you could probably get away without them. But, and I got away without them for about a year. But then the last trip I did, I had to get pulled out like four times by one of my friends in a Gladiator. So I was like, that's, you know, it's time to you know, step up and get my own tires.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. You don't want to scrimp on tires. It's
it's, you know, they say it's the biggest performance improvement you can do to any car, whether it's a sports car or off-road vehicle.
No,
Biggest bang for buck for improvement.
Yep. Absolutely. We talked about that last week in the 10 commandments of overlanding. I think that was one of the points. So, go ahead.
I was gonna say that one's still on my listen list. I got the week before, but I missed last week, so I gotta get a listen to that.
Well, what else do we need to know before we exit to the door? Or do you have any questions for us?
Question for you guys. When are you guys coming out east?
Man, that's a really good question.
Are you guys there all the time or do you travel often?
We travel fairly often. We were hoping to, we obviously did more early this year. We're doing Overland East in October and then the Mid-Atlantic Overland Festival here in August. But we're hoping next year we're going to get out.
Overland East is that around the 8th and 9th?
Yes, it's the end of October.
So I know Rendezvous is probably a week after that.
Yeah. Mm.
So you're probably not going to make it to Rendezvous.
Well, maybe I should make it out to Rendezvous.
Yeah.
Rendezvous is a good time. Yeah.
I'm telling you as a friend, you need to do that.
All right. So
don't bring a whole bunch of stuff to sell because you could probably do online orders, mm-hmm. but you need to go to that event. That is probably one of my favorite events that you literally get overlanders to come there because it's almost in the middle of nowhere and yeah. everybody just goes trail riding all day. That's bonfires. Incredible. It's awesome, man. It's a great time.
The Ozarks so that fun. Time of year is beautiful. Like just stunning.
The atmosphere and to see all these cool rigs and to see people, you know, that are on social and all that stuff to actually everyone comes to this event. It's like a moor, but instead of being stationary for a while, you actually get to go out and travel with other people and then come back. So it's really fun.
Cool. Yeah, that's the, so That's the biggest bummer about being a vendor sometimes is you don't get to go out and do all the trails.
Put a close sign out, man. Just go. They'll let you leave.
That was the one that Overland East. I was actually same with Moore this past year. I was really wanting to do that. It was a S'more to Moore rally.
S'more to Moore. Yeah.
Next year I'll do it.
You guys were all locked up in that gate.
Yep. I'll do it next year. It'll be good.
Well, so we need to ask the Budget Overland community to support Ben and Truck so he can get out more because he's tired of going to the shows. So you get out in Overland. Make a hashtag. A free Ben. Oh, that's awesome. Well, what else? There's something that you have for the community, right? Is there something, a special announcement that you have?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You want me to give it or you?
Go ahead. It's your show. Well, it's our show, but you're here. You're our honored guest.
We're doing a 5% off for anybody who's watching the podcast here. So use discount code budget, all uppercase. You get 5% off any orders off our site. We're limiting it to 10 orders, but the first 10 get 5% off. And if you order, if you end up ordering everything, it can be quite a savings. So
awesome. So,
but this is the thing that's cool, and why we did this with Trucked is you guys have never ever given out a discount ever.
Not anything like this. We've done a couple little discounts,
maybe holiday stuff, but
yeah, maybe a little bit of that, but nothing. We've never done anything quite like this. Never with a group like you guys.
So this is a big deal. If you're looking for a rack system for your truck, go check it out. The first 10 people that buy any of their orders or whatever get 5% off.
Mm-hmm.
Killer.
Their company's running pretty lean, and they're already giving you guys a great deal. So if you look at the pricing, killer I deal. Think it's pretty reasonable. So that discount, we appreciate that. And for those who take advantage of it, you know, that's awesome.
For sure.
We appreciate anybody who buys it. So
awesome. Yeah. No, we'll appreciate you.
You'll get to talk to me if you got any questions. So
perfect. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show today, Ben.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. It's been great. Yeah, I got my I didn't get to show it. I've been talking to
him. Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, bro. Yeah. Hey, look, I've got a Budget Overland sticker on mine.
Nice.
Well, if there's anything that we can do for you guys, let us know. We look forward to getting together, seeing you in person, and hopefully maybe seeing you out there at the rendezvous, or maybe we'll head out to Pennsylvania. I'd love to go out there. And haven't spent a lot of time in Pennsylvania, but man, I would love to go to Gettysburg. There's a few places that on my Pennsylvania list. I just haven't really traveled out there. I've driven through it, but I've never taken some time. So I need to do that. Got to go to Scranton, go see the office.
Scranton, and then drop down to West Virginia, go say hi to a couple people down there.
Yeah.
Hit that big bridge, whatever that's called. I don't even know what that big bridge is. Oh, it's on the Cat.
New River Gorge. Yeah, that
huge iron bridge. Oh, that's cool.
That's the newest national park now, actually. So
sweet.
It just became a national park a couple years ago, and I actually haven't explored there yet. That's on my list.
Cool. I've never been there. Go down there and see Brandon, one of our moderators. I'm not ever been down there. But anyway, I'm jabbering. That's what happens. Yeah. So.
Oh, cool. Well, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys, you know, if not sooner, definitely next year more, and hopefully the Ozarks, rendezvous with the Ozarks.
Yes, sounds sir. Good. Well, appreciate you. Thanks for coming on. Benji, what are your words of wisdom that you have today for us?
It's not words of wisdom. I'd almost like to end this episode with some hip hop, and I'll say, get trucked.
Get trucked. You want me to go back and reread the Urban Dictionary?
Right, and then again? We'll have you have the vine of the old hip hop going.
Get trucked. Oh, the first definition I read was truck. Getting trucked is when you're about to make a point and something gets in the way.
Oh.
I'm not going to read the rest of it. So
explicit.
Get trucked. All right. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening to another episode of Budget Overland Podcast. Cue the music. Benji.
Get trucked.
All right. We'll see you guys.